Today, we're diving into one of the most sobering chapters in the book of Ezekiel, where God drags proud empires down to the pit to prove one thing. Then they will know that I am the Lord their God. As we watch nations rise and fall in our own headlines like Israel, Iran, Lebanon, are we listening to what God is saying right now? Hell is real, pride is deadly, and God is urgently calling us to repent, surrender our pride, and return to Him. Stay with me as we walk through Ezekiel 32 and ask if our own nation is next in line. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. Hey, I hope you're having a great day and are excited to dive into the Old Testament. It's Old Testament Tuesday. It's one of my favorite days because we go back. Right now, we've been studying the book of Ezekiel. We go back to the Old Testament. We look at Scripture. And we understand that God has always had an eternal plan for us. So if you're enjoying this series on Old Testament Tuesday on the book of Ezekiel, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place it inside of your huddle. Finally, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much. You are helping us accomplish our goal to lay a foundation so that FPIW and FPIW Action can keep moving forward and accomplishing our primary goal, which is to change the heart so that we change the public square. So if you are new and you're just jumping in, we are on chapter 32 of the book of Ezekiel. So let me give you a little bit of a background of this book. Ezekiel is a prophetic book written during Israel's Babylonian exile in the 6th century BC. The prophet Ezekiel was a priest who was taken captive to Babylon at age 25, and at age 30 received a dramatic vision of God's glory that transformed him into God's messenger to the exiles. The book has three major movements: judgment on Israel for their unfaithfulness, that's chapters 1 through 24, judgment on surrounding nations, chapters 25 through 32, which that's where we're finishing up today, and promises of future restoration and blessings for Israel, that's chapters 33 through 48. The central theme includes God's holiness and presence, in individual responsibility before God, and the assurance that God remains sovereign even in exile. He is not confined to the Jerusalem temple, but he can be encountered anywhere. And Ezekiel uses vivid symbolic actions, striking visions, and powerful imagery to communicate God's message to a people who had lost everything and needed to understand both why judgment came and that God had not abandoned them. All right, so that's kind of the beginning point. We are at the end of him basically disciplining these other nations. We're going to start reading in Ezekiel chapter 32. It's a lament. It's one of the first laments. It's called the Sea Monster Slain. So let's look at this. It says, in the 12th year, in the 12th month, on the first of the month, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, take up a lamentation over Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and say to him, you compared yourself to a young lion of the nations, yet you are like the monster of the seas. And you burst forth in your rivers and muddied the waters with your feet and fouled their rivers. Thus saith the Lord God, now I will spread my net over you with a company of many peoples, and they shall lift you up in my net. I will leave you on the land. I will cast you on the open field, and I will cause all the birds of the heavens to dwell on you, and I will satisfy the beasts of the whole earth with you. I will lay your flesh on the mountains and will fill the valleys with your refuge. I will also make the land drink the discharge of your blood as far as the mountain, and the ravens will be full of you. And when I extinguish you, I will cover the heavens and darken their stars. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon will not give its light. All the shining lights in the heavens I will darken over you, and will set darkness on your land, declares the Lord God. I will also trouble the hearts of many peoples when I bring your destruction among the nations into the lands which you have not known. I will make many peoples appalled at you, and their kings will be horribly afraid of you. When I brandish my sword before them, and they will tremble every moment, every man for his own life on the day of your fall. For thus saith the Lord God, the sword of the king of Babylon will come upon you. By the swords of the mighty ones, I will cause your hordes to fall. All of them are tyrants of the nations. And they will devastate the pride of Egypt, and all its hordes will be destroyed. I will also destroy all its cattle from beside many waters. And the foot of man will not muddy them anymore, and the hooves of beasts will not muddy them. Then I will make their waters settle, and will cause their rivers to run like oil, declares the Lord God, when I make the land of Egypt a desolation, and the land of its destitute of that which filled it, when I smite all that those who live in it. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. This is a lamentation, and they shall chant it. The daughters of the nation shall chant it over Egypt, and over all the hordes they shall chant it, declares the Lord God. All right, so we see God is going to, or has, or did, lay Egypt to waste, and he's going to lay him out like a sea monster, and he's going to be, Egypt's going to be devastated because of their interaction with Israel. The bottom line that you need to hear from this is, then they will know that I am the Lord. Do you think God is doing those same things today so that we will know that he is the Lord your God? I mean, we're seeing things in Iran. We're seeing things in Israel. We're seeing things in Lebanon. We're seeing these things all around. And I believe God is showing us today, hey, be careful, be careful, be careful. I want you to be careful because how you deal with Israel is incredibly important. So this is a lamentation over Pharaoh and over Egypt. Now, it's the first one. It's called the Sea Monster Slain. Now, the second lament over Egypt descends into Sheol. And this is interesting if you haven't heard this before. It's, again, about 16 verses, so it's going to take me a minute to read it. But it is a powerful truth. In the 12th year, on the 15th of the month, the word of the Lord came to me saying, did you notice the first one was the 12th year in the 12th month? This is the 12th year on the 15th of the month. The word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, wail for the hordes of Egypt and bring it down, her and her daughters of the powerful nations to neither world, with those who go down to the pit. Whom do you surpass in beauty? Go down and make your bed with the uncircumcised. They shall fall in the midst of those who are slain by the sword. She is given over to the sword. They have drawn her and all her hordes away. The strong among the mighty ones shall speak of him and his helpers from the midst of Sheol. So now we see they're in the pit. They have gone down. They lie still, the uncircumcised slain by the sword. Assyria is there and all her company. Her graves are round about her. All of them are slain, fallen by the sword, whose graves are set in the remotest parts of the pit, and her company is round about her a grave. All of them are slain, fallen by the sword, who spread terror in the land of the living. Wow. Elam is there, and all her hordes around her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, who went down uncircumcised to the lower parts of the earth, who instilled their terror in the land of the living and bore their disgrace with those who went down to the pit. They have made a bed for her among the slain with her hordes. Her graves are around it. They are all uncircumcised, slain by the sword, although the terror was instilled in the land of the living, and they bore their disgrace with those who go down to the pit. They were put in the midst of the slain. Mashish, Tubal, and all their hordes are there. Their graves surround them. All of them were slain by the sword, uncircumcised, though they instilled their terror in the land of the living. Nor do they lie beside the fallen heroes of the uncircumcised who went down to Sheol with their weapons of war and whose swords were laid under their heads. But the punishment for their iniquity rested on their bones, though the terror of these heroes was once in the land of the living. But in the midst of the uncircumcised, you will be broken and lie with the slain by the sword. There also is Edom, its king, and all its princes, who for all their might are laid with those slain by the sword. They will lie with the uncircumcised and with those who go down to the pit. There also are the chiefs of the north, all of them, and all of their Sidonians, who in spite of their terror resulting from their might and shame went down with the slain. So they lay down uncircumcised with those who slain by the sword and bore their disgrace with those who go down to the pit. These Pharaoh will see, and he will be comforted for all his hordes slain by the sword, even Pharaoh and all his army, declares the Lord. Though I instilled a terror on him in the land of the living, yet he will be made to lie down among the uncircumcised along with those slain by the sword, even Pharaoh and all the hordes, declares the Lord. All right, so we see that this lament over Egypt descends to the pit of Sheol. And you may be thinking, that old song, I got friends in low places where the whiskey drowns and the beer chases my blues away. That's not what we see here. We see that they're completely conscious, and yet they're laying in hell. All right, so here's a couple things to learn. The futility of pride and earthly power is important to understand. Egypt's self-image as a mighty lion, contrasted with God's view of them as a destructive sea monster, warns against human arrogance. We got to be so careful. All earthly kingdoms are temporary and subject to divine judgment. Two, God is universally sovereign over all the nations. Though delivered to Babylon, exiles about Egypt, this prophecy demonstrates God's authority over all nations, not just Israel. He fixes the times and seasons of every empire's rise and fall. We need to take note of that. The reality of conscious judgment, the Old Testament's clearest description of the underworld, reveals souls remain aware, conscious of their positions, and cognitive that their assessment was determined by their earthly conduct. There is no comfort or partying in hell, only shame, terror, and permanent loss. Divine justice accomplished God's repeated purpose statement, then they shall know that I am the Lord, shows the judgment serves to reveal God's character and his sovereign reign and sovereign involvement in human affairs. His word never fails. So I hope that gives you a warning today. I don't think it's going to encourage you, but gives you a warning that we need to repent and turn to the living God and remove all pride from our hearts. Heavenly Father, we just give our pride to you, our arrogance to you. God, hell is a real place. We acknowledge that. We ask that you would forgive us of our sins. We're not just trying to keep out of hell. We want to be in your presence, God. So impute your righteousness upon our hearts only through the blood of Jesus Christ. We confess that we are sinners and we are in the need of a Savior, and that Savior is our Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua. God, go before us today, surround us today. God, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you for what you want to do. God, we surrender our pride as being Americans or Washingtonians or Spokaneites or Seattleites or whatever we might be, God. We just surrender all of our pride to you. Lord, go before us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now get out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard